All right. I can't touch that thing. First, can I just say thank you for being here, and thank you for honoring us, those of us at the Eureka Home Meeting. This is our first super whatever. So it's just been such an honor to have all of you here, and it has been so fun to do this with the Monday night meeting. That was one of my first meetings. The Sunday was one of my first meetings. The Wednesday night was one of my first meetings. And as I look around this room, I'm just grateful I get to talk about gratitude, because I could almost go to each one of you and say thank you. I feel so honored to be at the end of this group of people to share, because first of all, my gosh, we've all been drinking from a fire hose, haven't we? It's been amazing. So thank you to all of you who have shared, both that were scheduled and unscheduled. Thank you for all of you that have shared. So I'm talking about service and gratitude, and I'm just going to sort of use that to use those two things, and I'm going to share my story, and I have a little point at the end. Is that okay? All right. So I am grateful that 25 years ago, after I had started compulsively eating from the time I was 8 and had continued compulsively overeating into my young adulthood and had my husband walk out, that there was someone a few blocks down the road in Tampa, Florida, that had an OA meeting. I'm grateful for the person that led that meeting. I'm grateful that after 11 years ago, after leaving that meeting because I became anorexic, that I thought I was fine, and so I just went back to doing whatever I did, and after regaining all that weight plus more, 11 years ago in St. Louis, there was an intergroup that was supporting a whole bunch of meetings all over the St. Louis area. And I went to some of those and again heard about the hope of OA. I'm grateful that 6 years ago, after I decided to try an easier, softer way and lost weight and then gained back even more than I had lost before and was now taking a nice hard run for 300 pounds, that I came back again, and those same meetings were in place, and someone had started a new meeting. And at that new meeting, I got to hear the doctor's opinion for the first time, and a light bulb came on. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that a month after that, somebody was willing to be my sponsor, and that after I had come to that place in my life where I had completely given up and I had gone through an intervention at work and was at a point of feeling like I was about to lose almost everything, that there were people like you in rooms like this who said, "It's okay, you can be one of us." And I got to have, as someone in our group often says, the family I choose. I choose you. I choose you. I am grateful that my sponsor sort of was just like, she knew me. And she knew, as someone else has said before, that suggesting would be a whole lot better for me than telling me what to do. And I'm grateful that she was listening to her higher power, and that my higher power had shown me that the one thing I needed, the one thing that was my surrender, was to do whatever she suggested without question, because I'm really good at making it change in my own head. I'm really, really good at that. Over this last 6 years, I'm grateful that there have continued to be meetings in all of these places. I'm grateful for all the Super Saturdays and Sundays that I have been able to attend and to be able to be renewed and revived in my recovery. I'm grateful for conventions and for those who served at every convention, because those conventions gave me not just a lot of really good information, they gave me really good community. and I made new friends. I am grateful for the people who served those conventions. I am also grateful that I have had not one sponsor, but two sponsors, and that both of them have given me everything that they have been given and gave it with love and accepting and understanding and patience. I am grateful for that. That's sort of my story, but I want to read you another story. It's on page 153 in the big book, and it says, years ago, in 1935, one of our number made a journey to a certain western city. From a business standpoint, his trip came off badly. Had he been successful in his enterprise, he would have been set on his feet financially, which at the time seemed vitally important. But his venture wound up in a lawsuit and bogged down completely. The proceeding was shot through with much hard feeling and controversy. Bitterly discouraged, he found himself in a strange place, discredited and almost broke. Still physically weak and sober but a few months, he saw that his predicament was dangerous. He wanted so much to talk with someone, but whom? One dismal afternoon, he paced a hotel lobby, wondering how his bill was to be paid. At one end of the room stood a glass-covered directory of local churches. Down the lobby, a door opened into an attractive bar. He could see the crowd inside, and there he would find companionship and release. Unless he took some drinks, he might not have the courage to scrape an acquaintance and would have a lonely weekend. Of course, he couldn't drink, but why not sit hopefully at a table, a bottle of ginger ale before him? After all, had he not been sober 6 months now, perhaps he could handle, say, three drinks, no more. Fear gripped him. He was on thin ice. Again, it was the old insidious insanity. That first drink. With a shiver, he turned away and walked down the lobby to the church directory. Music and chatter still floated to him from the bar. But what about his responsibilities, his family, and the men who would die because they would not know how to get well? Ah, yes, those other alcoholics. There must be many such in this town. He would phone a clergyman. His sanity returned, and he thanked God. Selecting a church at random from the directory, he stepped into a booth and lifted the receiver. So this one of their number, this was Bill W. The call that he made, that was to Bob. And I am grateful that in 1935, AA was born. And I am grateful that some years later, Roseanne said, you know what, the eating is the other side of the coin of the alcoholism. An alcoholic can drink water, they can drink soda, they can drink milk, they just can't drink alcohol. And I can eat lettuce, and I can eat veggies, and I can eat meat. I just can't eat sugar, deep fat fried foods, popcorn, just me. But it's the same thing, isn't it? And I'm grateful that Roseanne and all of those who worked with her saw that. I'm grateful for that. I don't think it's any accident that early in Bill's story, he says this. And I say I don't think it's an accident because I've been reading As Bill Sees It lately as one of my meditations. And I've read this in multiple OA publications as well as AA publications. But I think there's a really important thing I want to leave you with today in regard to this. And this is what he said. I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. So today, I am grateful for all my sponsees, past and present, because you have kept me abstinent. And I am grateful to all of you in this room because you continue to serve every time you share in a meeting, every time you show up, every time you give a hug, every time you put $3 into the bag, every time you serve, every time you're serving me. And I thank you for that. And I ask you to remember that if you're at that point where you want to eat, it's still the same program. Reach out to another struggling compulsive overeater like me. Thank you.